John?
Yes.
Are you going to throw it at me?
Yeah. Adora. Now we have Adora Yudosha.
Cheryl Einhorn is still with us, our takeaway economic guru and adjunct professor of business, economic, and financial journalism at Columbia University. And we're going to talk about Cuba because we're marking a two-year anniversary since Raul Castro took the reins of power there in Cuba from his ailing brother Fidel. And in that time, Raul has instituted a string of economic reforms. For example, made it legal for Cubans to own cell phones and introduced the notion of bonus pay for government workers, among other things. Washington has dismissed these changes as cosmetic. The question is, are they? For more, we turn now to the BBC's Havana correspondent, Michael Voss. Michael, thanks so much for being with us.
Good morning, Adora.
Are these changes that Raul Castro is making, are they cosmetic?
No, I think they're small, but they are symbolic. I mean, he's putting through gradual changes, step by step. And if things aren't working, let's adapt or change them if necessary. But he's being flexible. He's saying, you know, he's not sticking to dogma. Fidel would traditionally have said, you know, if things aren't working, we need more revolutionary spirit. People must try harder. Raul Castro is saying, well, maybe we should change things. Maybe if it's not working, people can't always earn the same. Doctors don't need to earn the same as road cleaners. People can have bonuses based on productivity. And if Cuba's having to import half its food because the farms aren't working, then let's give unused state land to private farmers. It's slow, small steps. It's not the sort of opening we've seen in China or Vietnam yet, but he's moving cautiously towards it.
But the ideas are certainly radical. We're talking about a country where the average age is somewhere around 38 years old. How are Cubans feeling about Raul and the changes and the future?
I think the thing that Raul gave people here was expectations and hope that things are going to improve. I mean, his priority really is to make sure that the Communist Party stays in power, that this one-party state survives. There's no signs of any political reforms. But he believes that if he can do this, if he puts more money in people's pockets and more food on the table. And generally, people are going along with that. They're a pretty patient people, the Cubans, and I think this is a long-term plan. Some senior people I've been talking to are saying, oh, don't expect major changes in 1 or 2 years. Let's talk about a five-year time span. And the big question is how slowly can it go without really disillusioning people? And that's not clear yet.
Is Fidel Castro, who ruled for so many decades with an iron fist, is he still wielding any power behind the scenes from what you understand?
Oh, he's still hanging in there. I mean, officially, Raul would say that Fidel Castro knows and approves what's going on. It's very difficult to tell, but certainly he makes his presence felt through regular newspaper columns, and he writes lots of articles, a lot of them rambling, a lot of them looking back at history. I mean, recently there's been one on the Korean conflict, another on Cuba's Olympic baseball team. He doesn't write much about domestic politics, but he does seem to snipe at the edges. I mean, when Raul Castro lifted restrictions on people buying mobile phones and DVDs and things, Fidel wrote an article against the evils of consumerism. It's that
now,
sort
that's
of sniping.
Interesting, isn't it? I mean, are the brothers fighting a bit? I mean, it seems a little tit for tat there.
It's very difficult to tell. This is one thing they're very tight-lipped about. You have to sort of read carefully between the lines. I mean, the other week, Raul Castro issued a presidential decree giving incentives to retired teachers to go back to work because there's a real crisis in the schools. Fidel writes an article saying, you know, our education system isn't as bad as everybody makes out.
Sounds
there is
little,
this sort of sniping. Yes,
sounds
John?
A little like good cop, bad cop there, maybe. Give me a sense of Raul's regional aspirations. Certainly Fidel thought of himself as the big confronter of the power to the north. Any sort of sign of a relationship with Brazil or Uribe in Colombia or Hugo Chavez?
Yes, I mean, I think Raul is not the great international leader. He's almost never traveled abroad in his life, and since taking over the presidency, he sent other people to all the major meetings like the UN. But they are developing a much closer alliance around the Americas. in Latin America. There's a lot of sort of soft diplomacy going on. The Cubans are sending doctors and eye specialists and education specialists to teach adult literacy all over Latin America. He's forged very strong ties, as Fidel did with Venezuela's Hugo Chavez, building good relations with Bolivia. And there is a sort of string of left-wing governments now in Latin America, from Nicaragua to Bolivia. The Cubans work very closely with, also forging strong ties with China. China's giving Cuba very soft credits to buy things like buses and fridges and electrical goods. So there's another strong alliance. And in fact, the Russians were here this week, and I think they're trying to mend relations too.
You know, you've mentioned some interesting incremental changes, like the concept of the productivity bonuses and the mobile phone sales. Is there any way to measure how many people are taking advantage of these things? Is there any way to measure whether productivity has increased or how many of these bonuses have been given out?
These are very early days yet. In terms of bonuses, no, there's been no figures at all. The initial take up on things like mobile phones wasn't that great, but we know that sort of 8,000 were sold in the first week. They make the announcement, you hear about it, and then they issue a decree, and then it starts to move. I mean, I've only met one farmer so far who's actually got extra land, but there appears to be a lot in the pipeline.
So it's really Michael Voss, a wait and see situation. And we thank you always for your insightful updating for us about what's happening in Cuba. Thank you.
You're welcome, Adora.
That's Michael Voss, the BBC correspondent in Havana, and the questioner there was Cheryl Einhorn, our takeaway economic guru and adjunct professor of business, economic, and financial journalism at Columbia University. Thank you, Cheryl.
Long honeymoon for Raul there, it seems like. Yeah.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.